Is there anything the U.S. could or should do to help Europe?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The latest news on the European debt crisis came just moments ago from Athens, Greece, where former European Central Bank official Loukas Papademos will be the new prime minister of Greece. Does that make a difference in terms of what the U.S. should do about Europe? Well, not according to the Republican presidential candidates. They shared their strategies for Europe last night at the latest GOP debate, as Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Texas Governor Rick Perry said he had a message for world leaders that nothing is more powerful than the free market.
We are not going to pick winners and losers from Washington, D.C., that we're going to trust the capital markets and the private sector to make the decisions.
Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney echoed what most candidates said, that there should be no U.S. bailouts for European banks.
Europe is able to help Europe.
Romney did say he supports what he called world efforts to stabilize Europe through the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, organizations the U.S. helps bankroll. The Obama administration hasn't offered Europe much more than advice, but MIT economist Simon Johnson says American leaders and candidates can't avoid dealing with what's going on across the Atlantic.
There's a definite possibility of contagion, particularly through the very large banks.
Johnson says that financial firms considered too big to fail pose a risk to the U.S. economy, whether they're based here or in Europe. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Now to what's being billed as the largest municipal bankruptcy filing in U.S. history. It happened yesterday in Jefferson County, Alabama. Gigi Duban has more now from Birmingham.
Jefferson County Manager Tony Patelis says residents shouldn't notice much difference as the county works its way through bankruptcy proceedings.
We will continue to provide the services as we have in the past. Our employees will continue to work.
Still, Jefferson County is staring at a $40 million hole in this year's budget. Andreas Raudicus teaches finance at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. The county needs to come up with a reorganization plan, and a judge needs to approve it before creditors know exactly how much money they'll get back.
All of it is driven by the county. The creditors really don't have a lot of input.
Raudicus says to a big investment bank like J.P. Morgan Chase, even a $1 billion loss isn't devastating. The real problem, he says, will come when the county needs to borrow money in the future and no one wants to lend it to them. In Birmingham, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Asia, but turning higher in Europe right now. The census said today that for the first time since tracking began in the 1980s, a majority of new mothers are getting paid maternity leave. I have to say, after hanging out with a new mom yesterday and hearing about her 24-hour-a-day baby care schedule, I don't know how anyone manages to head back to work within 3 months of giving birth. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tumbled 389 points to close at 11,780.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. By Mass Mutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by Money Magazine's Take Charge Live, a series of events designed to help you take charge of your finances. November 16th at Boston College. Registration at moneytakecharge.com.
Realty Track said this morning more homes went into foreclosure last month, meaning the mortgage mess is getting worse. As for what's being done about it, all 50 states have been looking into whether the big banks acted improperly in handling mortgages. But two state attorneys general recently decided to launch a separate investigation. That would be Delaware's Beau Biden and New York's Eric Schneiderman. I stopped by Schneiderman's office in Lower Manhattan yesterday and started our interview by asking him why he and Biden left the group.
The multi-state negotiations that had been going on when I took office relate solely to the conduct after the market melted down, to abuses in foreclosure practices, robo-signing, things like that. The banks have been demanding releases for other conduct, for things that haven't been investigated. And Bo and I and some other AGs have said we're not given releases for things that haven't been fully investigated. We're not given releases for things that really aren't the subject of the discussions underway.
Now, you are an elected state official, but people call you the sheriff of Wall Street, just as they've called your predecessors in this position. Why is that not a federal position?
I think that the term really became popular back when Elliot Spitzer was the AG, and we're in an era where, during the Bush administration, a lot of the federal agencies were slow to police Wall Street. And I think that he sort of filled that gap, and that's where the reputation and the nickname came out. And our goal is to make sure that people have confidence that the markets are legitimate and that there's one set of rules for everyone, and that if something's rated AAA, that means something.
Well, if you're the sheriff of Wall Street, have the people that you police cleaned up their act since a few years ago?
Well, there have been some changes. I think that there have been difficulties in implementing the new laws that have been passed by Congress. But there's a lot of progress that's been made. But we view our investigation as a part of an overall effort to restore the public confidence that is so critical to the functioning of the markets and, frankly, that's so critical to the functioning of our democracy.
Well, your office looks out over Zuccotti Park and the Occupy Wall Street protesters. What do you make of that movement?
I think that when you cut through a lot of the more flamboyant stuff that gets media attention, what I hear from Occupy Wall Street and the other Occupy movements is really the same thing I hear from most Americans. At the bottom, it's the idea that they're demanding accountability. They have a sense that the banks got bailed out, were holding the bill, and no one was held accountable. And they really want to restore the sense that there's one set of rules for everybody. This is a big part of restoring confidence in America, and I see the Occupy movement as just the more visible tip of a big iceberg.
Eric Schneiderman, Attorney General of the State of New York, thanks so much for talking with us.
All right, thank you.
And finally, to the Occupy protest in Denver, the city's mayor asked the demonstrators to elect a leader who could be a contact for police. Well, the Occupy movement has resisted such calls before, but the Denver protesters obliged and nominated a 3-year-old border collie named Shelby. One supporter explained, "Shelby is more of a person than a corporation is and less corrupt than most people. She is the youngest, first, and only dog leader of this revolution." In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
All right, pardon the dated reference, but over in China, it's all about the Benjamins when it comes to getting a good education.
You just give them the list of schools you're interested in, and they will do it for you. They are not ashamed of doing this. You pay them and they get it out for you.
I'm Kai Rizdal, wanted Chinese students for universities here in the States. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.